In his first few months in office, President Obama and his administration have spent a lot of money and used a lot of regulatory power trying to improve the nation's economy. Now they've proposed a new agency, a Consumer Financial Protection Agency. Its aim, to make sure consumers, that's you and I, have and understand the information needed to make responsible decisions. In the Wall Street Journal, Judge Richard Posner of the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals wonders if the epitaph of the Obama administration will read too much, too soon, and too costly. Have you made a bad financial decision? Do you wish there was a law in the books to protect you? Tell us why or why not. 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Judge Richard Posner is the author of A Failure of Capitalism, The Crisis of 08 and the Descent into Depression, and a senior lecturer at the University of Chicago Law School. He joins us today from a studio on the University of Chicago campus. Judge Posner, good to have you with us on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Now, this Consumer Financial Protection Agency is the brainchild of Harvard Law professor Elizabeth Warren. Is that right?
I don't really know that. I know she's one of the people who've proposed it. I don't know if she's the only one.
What exactly would it do?
Well, it's designed to protect people from making foolish credit decisions, taking on mortgages they can't afford, or credit card debt that they can't afford, or any other kind of credit transaction, any borrowing.
Like, what kinds of financial products are we talking about that would be covered by this?
Well, mainly mortgages, credit cards, but it could be, you know, an installment loan, could be a car loan, could be anything.
So how would it work exactly? Can you explain to us exactly how this might work? How would a federal consumer protection agency protect us? Let's take an example. I think one that you pointed to was the adjustable rate mortgage might be outlawed, for example. What would happen in that case?
Well, the essential power that this agency would have would be the power to require mortgage brokers or whoever was, you know, trying to sell a consumer financial product like a mortgage to give the person a mortgage form that would be designed by the agency. And the consumer would be allowed to say, well, that's what I want. Now, the seller could also offer his own, you know, mortgage form, which might have different terms and so on, and then the consumer can choose, except that the agency could forbid the mortgage broker to provide a mortgage form with particular terms that the agency thought people wouldn't understand or wouldn't act sensibly in response to.
Now, after all that
so conceivably the agency might say, well, adjustable rate mortgages, people don't understand that the initial rate is very low, but it's adjustable, and maybe in a couple of years they'll be asked to pay an interest rate they can't afford. So if the agency thought people can't deal with this added complexity of an interest rate that may change over the life of the mortgage, then it could say, well, you just can't offer adjustable rate mortgages.
And your sense is that people don't need that kind of protection, that it's very paternalistic.
Well, some people, I'm sure, need it. But the problem is, you know, with all these consumer protection, you're regulating the transactions with everybody, including the people who have a quite good idea of what they're doing. So you protect a few people, nobody knows how many, but at the cost of complicating the transactional situation for the rest of the people.
We are talking with Judge Richard Posner about the need or lack of need for a federal regulation of our financial lives. If you would like to give us a call, the number is 800-989-8255. We're going to take a call from Andrew, who is in Grand Rapids. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, You know, I feel like the added regulation of the financial like sector, especially personally, to individuals, is just really dangerous, because in order to have the true freedom to make a good decision, there has to be the freedom to make a mistake. And I think adding this regulation, just like the judge mentioned, just adds so much of a pain to a lot of people that it's really not worth it. And you know what? We're free people. We have the ability to choose rationally. Economics is based on the idea that people do act rationally, and I think that it's kind of absurd to try to regulate people's financial lives to this extent.
Have you ever made a bad decision yourself and afterwards wished there might have been something there to have stopped you from your own worst instincts?
Yeah, I think I probably have made poor financial decisions in my past, and what I wish would have been there was was my own experience of making a bad decision before that, so I wouldn't have done it. I certainly won't again, hopefully. And that's where true growth and that's where true improvement of yourself and of our nation comes from, is from people making mistakes and then learning from it. And not having the ability to make a mistake doesn't give people the ability to improve themselves at all. It merely stops them from having the ability to make a mistake.
All right. Thanks for your call, Andrew. And I think, Judge, you'd agree with that.
Well, he's making a good point, which is that if you think that the government is protecting you against making a mistaken financial decision, your incentive to inform yourself about money matters and interest rates and so on, your incentive to become, you know, intelligent about finance is diminished. So there is a loss, as the caller mentioned, because you can't make mistakes anymore. Government tells you what to do. You never learn anything, and you become passive, and you may miss good opportunities because of that. The other thing it's important to emphasize is that there are existing laws and agencies to protect people against fraud. That's very important, right? Because there are clever frauds, and you can't trust yourself always to detect a fraud. But we have all that. This agency is designed to go far beyond protecting people from fraudulent or misleading representations made by sellers of financial products. It's much more paternalistic. It's designed to protect people who are given the information, but the agency is concerned that they're not going to use it in an intelligent way.
All right, let's take another call. We're going to go to Cindy in Charlotte. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, Lynn. yes, I'd like to ask the judge. I thought I was making a good investment when I invested in nothing but SIPC-insured investments. And who is going to protect us from people like SIPC? Because when the time came, there was fraud involved by several organizations, including major deep pockets like banks, I don't think you want me to mention who they were, investment brokers and so forth, and SIPC, while they had insured all of our accounts and investments, they said, sorry, even though you meet the criteria, we're not paying you. So how do consumers know when they're just not going to get paid back?
Well, as I say, if you're a victim of fraud, there are a lot of remedies. The Federal Trade Commission tries to protect people against fraudulent advertising and marketing of various sorts.
Well, there's lots of laws, as we know. SEC has amazing laws in America. That's why everyone comes here to invest. Yet the problem is we have plenty of regulation, but we have no enforcement, and that was the problem in my situation. No enforcement at all.
And would this proposed agency that we've been talking about, is that what it is, an enforcement agency, Judge Posner?
Well, it has enforcement powers, but it has the same enforcement powers as, Federal Trade Commission, and you can bring a lawsuit and so on.
Yes,
and, I don't know, of course, obviously, the details of the caller's a problem, but if SIPC, which insures against some forms of securities fraud, if SIPC has a legal obligation to compensate you for a loss and they don't honor their legal obligation, well, you can sue them. This agency is not going to the agency is not going to help you to deal with other government agencies. It's just going to be another set of remedies, like the Federal Trade Commission's remedies or the Securities Exchange Commission's remedy, if there's a violation of their standards. And say it goes beyond fraud because they will require that someone selling a financial product to you, mortgage, installment loan, what have you, provide you with a form, a loan document that they design. If you take that, well, then maybe you're protected against making a mistake.
We have
that's the hope behind the proposal.
Thanks for your call, Cindy. And we have another call on the line from Patrick in Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. I was just wondering, how broad is this legislation? It sounds like it applies, from what you're talking about, only to banks and insurance companies and things like that. But as I understand it, it would actually apply to everybody in every financial transaction, even if you went to the dentist. And in order to pay the dentist, you had some sort of installment where he would let you pay $100 a month over a year, that it would apply to that. It would apply to everything.
Is that right, Judge?
I don't know the complete scope. I don't know whether it would extend to a professional like a dentist. It would certainly, I mean, the caller is basically right. It wouldn't be limited to banks. It would include, you know, automobile companies that sell you a car on credit. And so it would have extremely broad scope over, you know, all consumer financial transactions. But I know, I don't remember exactly what they are. I know there are some exceptions, and they might include professional billing, although I don't know.
All right. I just want to remind everyone you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We have an email here from Diana. She says, I write contracts for a state governmental agency, and yet as a consumer find many of the disclosure agreement terms, documents regarding consumer lending and credit cards very difficult to process. Additionally, small print adds to the problem as time passes, becomes a bigger problem. If I, as a professional, can struggle to comprehend what I'm getting involved in, what about the people who have less knowledge? They are prey for the powerful. We should balance the playing field. What about that argument?
Well, I'm certainly sympathetic. And my wife and I, last fall, we were actually asked by our bank to raise our home equity loan limit. You know, it's a credit line, really. And we only have a modest credit line, but they wanted us to raise it very low interest rates. So we thought, fine, it would provide some protection should we need money. So when we went to the bank to fill out the form, we were handed, it felt like hundreds of pages of this and that and disclosures. It's quite unreadable. But on the other hand, these laws that are designed for protection of consumers, they actually are responsible, at least in part, for the complexity and the voluminous a number of forms that you're given when you make a credit transaction. Now, Professor Warren, whom you mentioned, says that, well, she wants to design a form to hand people that they can read in 3 minutes. Well, I don't think that's realistic because, you know, because a form that's that brief, it's going to have all sorts of loopholes. And the agents, I mean, the way bureaucracy works, they're going to, the forms are going to become more and more elaborate and not going to help people. Now, what is very important is there are existing legal protection. They don't work perfectly, obviously. Legal protections, as they say, against fraud, but also against, you know, misleading advertising or marketing or loan documents. They may not be fraudulent in the sense of containing lies, but because of omissions or even because of, you know, fine print, they may be misleading. And then there are remedies. Now, you know, the remedies don't work that well, actually. But adding another agency, there's very little realistic hope that that's going to improve the
you feel it's just going to add yet another layer of bureaucracy.
Yeah,
in
that's
there, right.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can take one more call. We're going to go to Paul in Philadelphia. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Well, the thing is, I think the consumer needs the protection and whatever advice. And because I look at it this way, big business, Wall Street, and the bankers all have the government. If they all make a mistake, the bankers and all, they have the government bailing them out, like they're too big to fail. So somebody's got to stick up for the little guy. That's all I got to say.
All right. Okay, thanks so much for your call. And I guess that finally, in the end, I know Judge, that you feel that you have a concern that eventually the agency could steer consumers to financial products that it thinks is best for them, whatever the consumer may think. But aren't many consumers also sort of being naively steered by companies that offer them too much credit, loans with bad terms, things like that? Isn't that partially how we got into the situation we're in today?
Well, one of the reasons that I expressed concern about the administration's ambitious financial regulatory reform proposals as being too soon, too soon, too much, and too costly. But the too soon is that we shouldn't be embarking on ambitious regulatory reform efforts until we have a really clear idea of how serious the problem is. So with regard to, the economic crash we've experienced, it is an argument. Many people say that consumers were gulled, were misled into taking on debt that they couldn't afford. Well, maybe that may be true, but it also may be a hindsight type of judgment. In hindsight, yeah, people took on too much credit, and so you have a lot of personal bankruptcies, defaults, foreclosures, and so on. But it's
Judge
not,
Posner, we're going to have to go if you can.
Oh,
I'm sorry to have to interrupt you at that moment, but thanks so much for joining us
today.
Okay. Richard Posner is a judge on the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. You can find a link to his opinion piece at npr.org. And tomorrow we'll talk about what's driving the intense anger over the health care debate. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.